I read somewhere that the most widely distributed photograph ever is a photograph of the planet Earth taken from outer space by the Apollo 17 astronauts in 1972. It shows the Earth just floating in space, and it's this the photograph is called the Blue Marble because the Earth looks like a blue marble there. It's this beautiful sphere, and you can see the blue color of the oceans and the white clouds swirling around in the atmosphere of the Earth. You can see the continent of Africa and part of Asia and part of the polar ice cap in Antarctica. It's an amazing photo, and it inspired a lot of people to understand the fragility of the Earth and how important it is that we take care of this precious planet that we live on. Astronomers keep finding more and more things about the beauty of the universe, how vast it is, the magnitude of the universe. There are about 100 billion galaxies, and every galaxy has got hundreds of billions of stars. It's just mind-boggling to think of that. Even unbelieving astronomers, as they explore the complexity and the magnitude of the universe, are amazed and astounded by this creation that we live in, that we're a tiny, tiny part of. Same thing with scientists that study the tiny subatomic particles that everything is made of. As they learn more and more about the inside of the atom, it's not just the proton and the neutron and the electron anymore, like we learned in high school. There are quarks, and there are bosons, and there are leptons, and things you never heard of. And it's not like billiard balls bouncing off each other. It's more like relationships in quantum physics, and they have to use metaphor and imaginary terms to understand the amazing complexity of life, of atoms. Even unbelieving scientists are astounded by this. The great scientist Albert Einstein said, "Those who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe are as good as dead. Their eyes are closed." So that is the basis for worship. We stand in wonder and awe in front of all that God has made. In our New Testament reading this morning, we read from the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. This book is a very strange book. A lot of people just avoid it because it's so weird. A lot of strange images and visions in this book. It has been called the most misunderstood and misinterpreted piece of literature anywhere, but it has the most authentic images of worship in it too, and that's what we read about this morning, the worship that goes on in heaven. Revelation was written by a man named John, who was a Christian in the late first century. He was persecuted for his faith, and he was exiled to the island of Patmos, cut off from his family and friends. But he had a lot of knowledge of the churches that were in Asia, which are the what we now know as modern-day Turkey. And so he wrote this book to encourage the Christians in those churches. Basically, he was saying, keep the faith. Hold on. I know things are tough, but keep the faith. He encouraged the saints to have patient endurance. He was an intense guy. He had amazing visions that he wrote down, and that's what is included in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is like a cosmic battle between good and evil, between God and the devil. And he also gives God's judgment on the evils of the Roman Empire. He doesn't call it the Roman Empire because he can't do that. He would get in trouble. So he calls it some other name like Babylon or the Great Beast. Excuse me while I get a drink of water. So the Revelation is not about the rapture. Sometimes you hear that. It's all about the end of the world and people going, shooting up to heaven. Like my voice just did. But the main point of the main point of Revelation is that God wins in the end. That even though it seems like there's injustice now, God's justice will win in the end. Oh, you got one of the... Thank you. I'll take that. Yeah. Too much speaking this morning. Thank you, Bill. So there, in Revelation, there are these visions of this great struggle in heaven and struggle on earth that John sees. And the visions of struggle on earth and heaven also alternate with these visions of worship in heaven. So he'll see God's judgment, God's wrath being poured out, but then he'll look into heaven and he'll see angels worshiping God in heaven. And then he'll see a struggle between the Roman Empire and the forces of Christ. And then he'll look into heaven again and he'll see worship in heaven again. So today's reading, he sees into heaven, and it's this amazing scene that he sees there. He sees in the center, there's the throne of God, and God is sitting on the throne. And in front of him is Christ, the Lamb that was slain. And around that is the four living creatures who kind of represent the powers of the earth. And then around them is 24 thrones. And on the 24 thrones are 24 elders with crowns on their heads. And they represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the New Testament. And around them, there's this host of angels, myriads and myriads of angels, and thousands upon thousands of angels. And they're all singing a song of praise to Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. It's an amazing scene of worship in heaven. And then he hears even more join in. He hears all the creatures on earth. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, all creatures great and small, all creatures wise and wonderful, all dogs and cats and whales and giraffes and everything, praising God. Even the whole creation, all the stars and the galaxies and the atoms and the birds and the animals and the rocks and the trees, everything is praising God. Glory and power and might and wisdom and honor be to your name. Just incredible vision of worship in heaven. So what John is describing as heaven is not the place we go to when we die. But it's his way of describing the reality of the universe. He says, this is the way the universe really looks. The whole universe sings out to God. The universe is alive with the music of the spheres. And this song goes up continually, night and day. Beethoven said, music is the language of God. So when we worship, when we come together, what we do is we're joining in the song of the elders and the angels and all the saints and martyrs and creatures that are around the throne of God. We're joining in that song. Worship is a response to the mystery of God. The great rabbi Abraham Heschel said, worship is a way of seeing the world in the light of God. I know... some people think that worship is this sort of dull duty you have to do. You're supposed to come and sit in the pew and read the responses and listen to the sermon and put money in the plate. That's not what worship is about. Worship is joining in the song that's being continually raised to God. Worship is being caught up in the mystery of God and of Christ. The Eucharist is not just, you know, a crumb of bread and a sip of wine. The Eucharist is a mystery that we join into when we have Eucharist. Last year, we studied the book of Revelation in the Vicar's Bible study, and we used as a commentary a book by Eugene Peterson called Reverse Thunder. And as we were reading through that, one of the things he said in it was, worship is the most important act a Christian can do. And we were kind of surprised by that because we said, isn't serving other people in the name of Christ and being witnesses to Christ, isn't that the most important thing that we can do? He says, well, no, those things are important, but they flow from worship. Worship comes first. Worship is where we connect ourselves to God. You think about the Lord's Prayer. The very first petition of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means, to hallow means to make holy. So when God's name is being hallowed, that's worship. And so what we're praying is that God's worship will happen everywhere by everyone. Worship is a universal impulse, and you find it in every land, in every time, in every culture. You know, when the Cathedral of Notre Dame was burning, it wasn't just Christians who were grieving and mourning for it, but all kinds of people were sad because the Cathedral of Notre Dame, the building, represents the connection between heaven and earth, between human beings and God. And so it represents worship, and it's important to everybody. You know, when we have Eucharist, when we say the Eucharistic prayer, I feel like that we are in the center of the universe, and there's these lines of light radiating out from here into all parts of the universe, and that we are at the center of the universe. It's like our altar is the throne of God, and the bread and the wine are Christ the Lamb. And we are standing around the throne, and we're surrounded by the elders and the saints and the martyrs and the angels, and all of us are joined together in this wonderful song of praise to God. Holy, holy, holy. So, it's true. Worship is the most important act a Christian can do. Amen.